Would you introduce yourself, please?
Hello there, I'm Nancy.
You've got the Northeast UK, you've got a new EP, it's your debut, and as we mentioned, you are indeed mysterious. And I guess we should use androgynous in that too, since that's used every 15 friggin' seconds. Nowhere in what press there is have I heard how long you've been at this and where you actually started musically, because there's none of that in the bios or anything yet. I mean, again, mysterious, however.
That's true. It's like I've just popped up out of a cloud of smoke.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I've done a couple of interviews with other people and they've alluded to it, but no one's really asked me that. So I guess, yeah, that would be something I feel like I'm getting away with so far. No one's
asked. So, yeah, except you just ended getting away with it. That's over now.
Yeah. Now I'm in the hot seat.
Yeah, so tell me, because you can't pop out of nowhere and you can't be doing what you're doing with the quality and the knowledge and the, and I want to say pithiness, you know, and fun without having some formal training.
Yeah, well, I've been a musician for years and years and years. I'm originally from, like you said, the northeast of England.
So what is the north?
Well, I've been living in like London and Brighton for about 10 years, so my accent is like receded a bit, and because I'm in the States now, I'm enunciating a lot more, but up north there's a lot of like glottal stops and you kind of swallow a lot of vowels and a lot of syllables. It's kind of closer to Scottish.
So you've been at this a while, but not as Nancy. So what have you been at this prior to Nancy?
Well, I've been pouring my heart and soul majority of my 20s into like a more alternative rock sort of stuff. So different bands around Brighton, London, done so much touring, and I guess I just learned how everything kind of works a bit better, and then I decided I wanted to be a solo artist, and I wanted to, you know, do things on my own terms, and I knew exactly how I could do that, so I have the privilege of arriving out of nowhere and being able to control my own perception to people and leak it out how I see fit.
So talk to me about privilege, because that implies that you haven't had to take a day gig.
Oh no, I've done all of that. I mean, the privilege of having experience enough of touring and releasing records.
So you did the work.
Yeah, like sort of paid my dues. Yeah, I guess.
You're not walking in the door naked, so to speak.
That's it. There's no like teething problems. Well, everything has teething problems, but there's not that first on at 7 p.m. on a Monday night to no one need to get industry interested and stuff like that. I could just cut all of that and go straight to, yeah, I've made this thing. I want to put this out. How can we do that, you know, without having worry about the nuts and bolts so much?
We first heard about a vastly transformed Nancy Sinatra. But that's an interesting choice to, if you'll excuse the expression, come out with.
Yeah, well, as you know, I'm Nancy, and I am a massive fan of Nancy Sinatra. And I just thought that would be the best way to, like, announce myself to the world is through that cover. But doing it entirely in my own way, just to try and give people a succinct first impression of what I'm trying to do and what I'm all about.
Let's get to androgyny. The tale goes that when you were in school, that was a nickname, true, false?
Yes, that's correct. I've always been, I'm 7 foot tall, and I've always been very tall, and I've always been kind of other, so it's a bit of a cliche, didn't fit in at school, literally and figuratively. So I've always tended to find like alternative music and find alternative fashion and stuff like that. And I've always been a massive fan of David Bowie and Mark Bolan, like from a very young age.
And nobody who it's, and this is kind of, you will be happy we talked about this as time goes on,
yeah.
At least quite possibly. They didn't announce that they were anything.
Yeah.
They just put on the costume, put on the tone, and then there was discovery afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like self-praise is no recommendation sort of thing with announcing your androgynous. I'm not sure if I put androgynous in the press release. That's something more.
I don't think you did, but the press picks it up right away, and I don't know that that sells the package one way or another, because the key is, if you chose, and this is kind of interesting, because you did choose to appear Daft Punk-ish, so to speak, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're getting onto something quite interesting here. I think limitation of information is a really interesting way to be creative. And I thought, I didn't come out of the gate saying, this is androgynous, this is this. I just didn't say, I deliberately said, I want this to be genderless to start with. And I wanted to just allow people to project whatever they wanted onto Nancy, limit, you know, what people could see. And I think there's something really cool about that. Like, for example, if you watch like an old horror movie and they don't show you, you know, the alien or the monster or whatever, that's scary. Like, you know, like Jaws or something like that. But as soon as you see it, you're like, oh, well, that's just a guy in a suit. And the myth has been, the sort of dream has been like popped. And I just think that's, I really like that, and I like leaving enough room. I like unfinished ideas, you know, leave about 30% unfinished so that the listener can fit into that themselves.
Record, produce, art direct, the whole nine yards. So somewhere in all of this paying your dues, you also made a decision that you weren't going to sign with a label that was going to hand you a big, you know, massive producer, say this. So is a lot of this made at home? Where did it start? What do you do? Do you demo, then go into a real studio, or is it all in the box?
It's all in the box. I've spent years and so much of my own money and so much of other people's money going into professional studios with producers and working like that, which is a great way to make music. But it's also, it's a very rigid format. I realized I never really trusted my own ears and my own instincts before. I was like, oh, we need a second opinion, and this kind of sounds good, but I don't know if it'll work at radio or whatever. And when I decided I wanted to start writing music as Nancy, I was like, I'm just gonna trust my ear. I'm gonna make music in my bedroom with whatever tools I can get, and if it sounds good to me, then it is good. And same with the art that I made to go with it. Just, it's been quite liberating, really. It's been really affirming to see the sort of coverage that I've been able to get with something that has been entirely, you know, me from start to finish in every part of the process, even down to mastering and mixing and everything, which normally you entrust other people to do for you. And there's people out there that do fantastic work, you know. That is such a viable option for people to go down, and often the right option for people. But for me, I was like, I'm going to do this by myself and see if it works. I've got nothing to lose.
So you do it by yourself, and then you say, okay, I've got to get it out into the world. So I would imagine, again, in that paying your dues, you met a lot of people, and then you made a choice to go with, and I'll let you fill in the blanks there.
A reasonable amount of people in the industry, and I have a lot of friends who, you know, we all started out with nothing, and now they're in, you know, influential positions. And me and my manager, we sent it to a couple of people, and we were like, "This is brand new. This is the."
So the manager. Before we forget, how did you come upon the manager?
I've been working with my manager, Griff, for a number of years, for about 5 or 6 years. And he's always worked really closely with me on like, you know, plotting out things year to year and figuring out what we're going to do next and how we can just like find solutions to everything. So he helped me, you know, position the songs and, you know, get them to a place where people could hear them and decide whether they wanted to invest in them. And it got signed pretty quickly. And I was like, hey, it's got a pulse. And then we released in the UK with Cannibal Hymns, and we released in America on B3 Psy. And it's been pretty crazy, you know? They're like, yeah, we want to put money into this. We think this will work. And here I am now.
So here we go. We got your lo-fi, we got your cabaret, we have your art dream pop. We have, and then I found psych punk this morning. I like, that was the NME. Okay. Yeah, your psych punk. What is, or what will be, moving forward, the filter for a Nancy song? How do you know it's a Nancy song?
That's a really good question. Yeah, it's very eclectic, and that comes quite naturally to me. And you always, you know, I think everything hangs together right, and it's not, you know, disparate, but it's eclectic for sure. We go from like punk to croony stuff, and I know mentioning genres is really difficult not to, but we get, you know, we have slow songs, we have quick songs, we have like really blown out songs where there's horns in it. I guess the Nancy filter is I'm the Nancy filter, and my inability to mix songs properly and record things in conventional ways is always going to be the thing that makes it sound like me, because I'm trying to use my naivety as a strong point, you know. And I think the necessity to make music and release is like, that's my yard, that's my compass, that I'm just going to follow it, you know.
But you could talk to Lou Reed. So if Lou Reed was sitting here right now, and we're having this conversation, and he's meeting Nancy, what would you talk to Lou Reed about?
I don't know. He picks his words quite carefully, so he'd probably just go like, huh? Yeah? Do the Andy Warhol thing. What would I say to Lou Reed? I would tell him I loved him, and he probably wouldn't like that. I'd tell him that Lulu was the greatest thing he ever did, that Metallica record he did.
Lulu.
Well, not of all the Lou Reeds. If we were gonna,
Transformer would be in there, obviously.
Well, yeah, that'd be up there. Yeah. And obviously, yeah, Underground and Nico and stuff like that. But I find Lulu quite fun. Like, I put it on and it makes me laugh. And there's also, you know, Lou Reed's stuff, and it's quite good. And it's so bizarre. Like, I'm kind of grateful that a record like that got made.
Backrack, David, Spectre, Walker Brothers, Rat Pack, Modern Lovers. What I want to connect it to is two things, production and songwriting.
Well, yeah, I think the brilliance of that era for music is like, you know, a lot of the time you'd only have four channels to record on, and you'd have to bounce stuff down, and the actual workflow of recording was like really restricted. The sort of pulpy, over-the-top, soapy drama to it, I find that really, really romantic, and I think there's a lot of truth in it, even though it's quite you know, it's very overly dramatic, but I think there's a lot of truth in it. But mainly with the song arrangements and the structures, I just think, you know, like, necessity is like the mother of invention, and they had to find workarounds for the limitations they had. And that's why you get these really sleek, really clever arrangements that are just good songs that I think would work with any arrangement.
And using found sounds, which you do a lot of, how much of that is you recreating, and how much of that have you pulled things?
So the way I start is, like, I like to pull a lot of breaks from old records, and I find that just really helps me. Like, just get the right groove and the right flow, and then I kind of like rebuild that sample. So I'm a really big fan of like hip hop, and I've just always loved the way Beck managed to make this really, it was kind of genre defying music that's sort of alternative. It's kind of hip hop, it's like a Beastie Boys thing, but it's kind of rap, but it's not. And I've always really loved that, and he's always used breaks. And it's really funny when you find the breaks that he used. You know, the old, like, Purdy samples and stuff like that, and the old, like, session player instrumental albums, and that's a lot of fun. So I find that really, really inspiring. I think it just gives, it gives the music this, the using a sample and using a break, there's a kind of magic in that. Just hearing the same thing over and over again that's slightly off the beat, and your ear starts to tune into it. I think there's something really, really cool about that, rather than just having a drummer like smash it out. So yeah, I'm very, very samples based. It's all in the box. You know.
So how much are you going to separate the character from the music, and how much is it going to matter in the long run?
I think already it's already kind of the cat's out of the bag to a degree. There was press at my shows in New York that had, they took pictures of me playing.
Uh-oh.
So.
That's that.
I mean, that's that. I think if it's like Damon Albarn with the Gorillaz. It's like if you
know he's in it.
If you want to know, then you can know. But it's kind of fun to just embrace this character. And like I say, I'm such a big fan of Bowie. It's like a Ziggy Stardust thing. It's like, we all know what the deal is. But it's like whether you want to believe in the fairy tale or not.
On that same EP, at the end, you've got the I'm Not Getting Sober. That takes you, if Boots is over here, that is way over here. And that's mosh pit level intensity, right? But intentional.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's fully into the red. That's like raw power. You know, let's try and get away with as much distortion as we possibly can. The songs just came out and I just didn't try and control it. I just shot from the hip. And it is really eclectic. You know, I think Boots and Sober are of a similar tempo. So there's a bit of a cyclical element to the EP where it feels like there's a beginning, a middle, and the end. As much as you can do across six tracks, whatever, like 20 minutes. But yeah, that song's like, I don't know, it kind of feels like when you're anxious and you feel like you're out of control. And
minute and 35 seconds of anxiousness.
It's a shot of a rush of blood to the head, you know, and that's what the song needs to be.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and what it is two of your songs on the outside and then songs by others in between.